can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line. Chalk blew up.
Oh, he's toying with him now.
Hey, Caitlin.
Chris, I barely remember what your voice sounds like.
Oh, boy, you must still be in Manhattan. Look at that. That's like sound design almost on a
you
podcast
know what?
Right there.
Yeah, well, you can hear the taxi cab driver yelling at the guy
exactly.
Crossing the street. Here I am.
New York City. The year was 1982. It's just people throwing trash can tops at each other.
It feels like 1982 the last time we recorded an episode, but I checked and it was in fact a few months ago.
I think the Australian Open, I don't know, I found it satisfying. I found it satisfying.
Incredibly satisfying. Yeah. Titillating even.
Yeah, I've been working on a project that's had me up late, and so I'd get back home and still be like adrenaline filled and think like not only live sports, but like my favorite kind of live sports on at 3 a.m. It's great. It's really great.
3 a.m. live sports from across the world. And you've always been an Australian Open fan.
Yes.
Probably because of the schedule in part, but also, you know, it's the middle of the winter. It's desolate.
Yep.
And here's this like sun-filled tournament with our favorite sport on TV.
Exactly. And I love night tennis. Love it. Really love night tennis. So
you're alone in that, at least in this podcast, but I do appreciate that you are consistently into it.
Exactly. And there were like, it was great that the women's final was so different, and then also the men's final, seeing like I never thought he would get back to playing that well. I never thought he would get back to it. I mean, that's not an original take, but it was like he messed Nadal up the same way he used to 4 or 5 years ago. It was amazing.
It's weird that we've lived in this era where like each of the big three truly, and I think we have sadly called them the big three now, because it seems like Andy Murray is probably not coming back, although I hope he has like one great last Wimbledon. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be great. It would be great. Ah, it doesn't seem likely right now, but yes, it would be great.
Doesn't seem likely, but kind of germane to what I'm about to say. Like a couple years ago, Nadal's out with like both knees. You're like, how's that guy going to walk again, much less like play like 6 hour finals?
I know.
And now the guy's like still had some grand slams in him.
Yep.
Same thing with Federer. I remember talking with somebody at WNYC years ago, 2012 maybe it was, thinking, well, it's over. He's done. And, like, not the case.
Nope.
Nadal, Federer, and now Djokovic a year ago thinking, like, this guy's never going to pick up a racket again. His head is in a weird headspace. He's got this weird guru.
Yeah.
You know. So maybe it's the same with Murray. Maybe we all are doing – maybe it's the cycle. Maybe it's his great big four greatness. It does seem really dire, though. There's no way that guy's coming back. Right?
They put a metal coating on his hip so that it would slide better? Like, that's
– Doesn't seem great.
Doesn't seem great. He's like the Terminator. But, like, what if it's, like, Murray, 2032, and he's still, like, grinding away winning finals – or losing finals, at least.
Grinding away losing finals. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's – I think it's probably Terminator 1, but it could be Terminator 2.
Yeah, sure. Like he just gets his whole body coated in metal on the inside.
He could be like T-1000.
Right. It's like a real
melting into the pavement and then reconstituting himself.
Like a real quandary for the PED people. Like, we don't know. Is being metal a thing or is it just?
It's certainly performance enhancing, but is it a drug? Who can say?
Right.
I like that we've gotten to a pretty weird dystopian place already. It's like no time has passed at all.
Yeah.
But Djokovic just owned Nadal. That final was insanely one-sided.
That was insane. I mean, I should say that, like, I think it's, like, borderline insulting that I steered this into the men's final first, since so much less significant. But realize, like Djokovic is just the best athlete I've ever seen play tennis. Like, the way he absorbed Nadal's forehand is just, you have to be so athletic to, like, get all the way deep in that backhand corner and just pop back to the center every time for three sets. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think I finally understood what his greatness is, because it took me a while to understand it, because it's not exactly tennis. It's athleticism.
Yes. Yeah.
In a way that's different. Like Nadal's thing is toil and Federer's thing is ease, but pure athleticism. Like Murray's is maybe determination, but nobody's like Gumby like he is. I feel like he could be a decathlete. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just like crush without kind of training at all, you know?
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, he would be a great athlete at whatever. And just like so, like even just like these huge long rallies and he's still there. His head is perfectly still and he's just working him around the court. It's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like we should send him into space as like a prototype.
he's like the golden record.
Kind of, yeah. He's the golden record of athletes.
Of athletes, yeah. Sure.
Okay, but now on to the actual great final.
Yes.
What a great final.
What a great final. I mean, just to bounce back. I mean, so few players, even like grizzled veterans, would have bounced back from that second set. And really impressive. Really impressive.
If you're down, as Naomi Osaka was, head in your towel after losing the second set in which you held match points that you failed to convert.
Yep.
Yeah, like it's tough for you to even like muster your will to get off your chair, much less play a dominant third set. But like just dominant. She was leading the whole time. She played even better.
Yeah, she played. It was like there are certain moments in matches where when I was younger, it would happen all the time, now less, but it's like walk out of the room tennis, where like when it happened, I just had to walk out of the room and not watch for a little while.
It's like, really?
Yeah, it's just like so like, oh my God, because I wanted her to win, obviously. I wanted her to win a lot,
yeah,
a lot. And then like the acceptance speech, where she's just like, I'm not that good at public speaking. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing.
And there's Li Na up there giving her the trophy, Petra Kvitova,
Pod
favorite Lena. Gotta work Lena in there. A little sad her tattoo, her chest tattoo was not visible, understandably, right. But just saying, reminding people that she has a cool chest tattoo.
She sure does.
You know, and then Petra Kvitova, like an amazing story, a gracious champion. She like stomped a whole half of the field coming out of like, you know, a very
horrifying
obviously
injury.
Horror story home invasion, and like had a really good year last year but didn't do very well in the slams, and then now all of a sudden, you know, she got to her first slam final in 2019. I was just like super jazzed for her. Like I thought no matter what, anybody winning that would have been like totally fine by me.
Yep.
Osaka though, like so happy, especially after the US Open, like nobody could say it was a fluke.
Right.
She found something special and she's not going anywhere, which is so great.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she has as many titles as Li Na now, right?
Great point.
Majors?
Great point.
Yeah.
A lot younger, and she, you know, Li Na won two Australians.
Yep. Yep.
No, I'm wrong.
No.
She won an Australian and she won a French.
Yeah, she won a French, yeah.
But like I it's totally anything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Osaka's the future. Let's take this on the road and go to Tokyo and like the next time we tape a podcast, it'll probably be next fall. So
right, exactly.
As well start planning now.
Right, good. It's take a slow boat to Osaka. I think that she is. It's like if she stays healthy, like I feel like her ceiling is like 7-8 slams, and it's like a long. I mean, maybe more, but like it's reasonable. It's been a long time since there's been a young player where you could say that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think some of the slam winners, like even your sort of Petras, I gotta think Karolina Pliskova is gonna get a slam here sooner rather than later. Sabalenka is probably gonna get a couple.
Yep.
You know, there's like a whole handful up there. Obviously, Angelique Kerber has a few now.
Yep.
But like, I have to think that Osaka is kind of primed to be one of the more dominant ones. Certainly.
Yeah, she has a game that is, and they're not like just said, but like not too many people whose game is like draw proof. Which is like things don't have to break
really
her way
to
draw.
It.
Yeah.
And holy shit, did she have a draw. Like that top half was Simona Halep. It was both Williams sisters.
Yep.
It was Pliskova. And I think there was a couple other like kind of dangerous floaters. Like the bottom half of the draw was not anywhere near as competitive. And the top half, I think Sloane Stephens was in the top half. It was just like, whoa, bananas.
Big hitters, huge hitters in the top half of that draw. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Osaka doesn't like shy away from that.
Right.
So I'm pretty jazzed.
Yes.
Anything you were sort of taken by other than the championship matches, other than the winners?
I mean, the winners were the big part. I mean, it was an interesting tournament, and I was sort of happy. I was surprised about how happy I was that it was Nadal Djokovic. And even though, like, I'm kind of ready for that era to be done, like, to have a final where it's, like, 17 majors versus 14 majors is, like, preposterous. I don't know. How about you?
Totally sad that Luca Puy, the French guy, and Stefanos Tsitsipas, the Greek, who beat Federer, were not the finalists.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready to move on.
Yes.
Emotionally. Yes. Like, I love that the women's tour has sort of cycled through this era of uncertainty because I think it's cool.
Right.
And, like, the dude's ready for some of these guys to break through.
Yeah, right. I mean, Puig has a really pretty game too. Like, it's really pleasing to watch. Yes.
And a face to match.
What a face.
What a cute face. And then you got Tsitsipas, is just like, as far as I can tell, this like sort of like adorable lanky goofball with that beautiful one in a backhand.
Exactly.
Like, you know, some days Zverev might get to a, you know, semifinal. Yep. You gotta think he's in there somewhere.
I mean, I think he absolutely. I mean, like I think he has the ability to like crush someone in a final, like one and two. Just he hits the ball so hard.
He's just gotta get there.
Like he's in the Tour Championship and in other tournaments. He's played tennis where you think like, oh, like what's that? Like this guy's gonna win like multiple majors, but it just hasn't happened.
Has not happened. Let's move, because I haven't gotten a chance to discuss it yet, and it's a hallmark, if you will, of the main draw, which is sartorially.
Sartorially, yes.
A couple of highlights for me personally,
okay,
and not just because I got sent a pair.
Oh,
were the Kyrgios Kyrie,
yes,
special edition vapors.
Yep.
This guy did not last very long in the tournament,
no,
as Nick Kyrgios is wont to do.
Yep.
But those shoes, so stylish.
Yes, really good.
And for anybody who doesn't know, they're a Nick Kyrgios Kyrie Irving mashup, playing on the fact that Kyrie Irving is Australian and that Nick Kyrgios loves basketball and his favorite team is Celtics.
Yep.
So they did a matching vapor basketball shoe and tennis shoe that have like the same motifs, and they sent me both. So I got Claire got the basketball ones and I got the tennis ones. And I have to tell you, a shoe unboxing expert, a YouTube shoe unboxer,
yep,
if that's the way you call it, came up to me and asked me where I got my shoes.
Wow, that's huge. I mean, I think that, well, one, I think that like Manhattan is like probably like one of the best places in the world to be like approached by someone about your sneakers.
I think you're gonna say to be a YouTube shoe unboxer.
Right, that's good too. I mean, I think that it's like, it like when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, because everybody was so hyped about the Federer Jordans. Like, why stop there? I mean, those shoes were like instantly $400.
I wish I had a pair of them.
Yes, they're beautiful.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you have played in them?
Oh, no. No chance. How about you? Are you going to play in your...
Well, I am playing in mine.
Oh,
I've gotten... adult men have, like, kind of wept on my behalf. Like, to not overstate this, they've at least found it alarming.
Right. Right, and you don't find it. It was just fine, right from the get go for you.
Which are shoes?
They're shoes.
I have a shoe museum? They're shoes.
Are you playing indoors with them? Right.
I played on clay with them.
Yeah.
Which is probably insane, but I'm not. What am I gonna like transact on these size men's 7 shoes in like 5 years on YouTube or like on eBay? That's not my life.
Yeah, true. How about Claire?
I got them now. Like, why don't I wear them now? I look cool in them, so I'm gonna wear them right now.
Sure. Claire, is she wearing hers out to play tennis? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. If you want to meet somebody even more pragmatic and less into sneakerhead culture than me, pretty much you could say that across any, insert any kind of culture.
Right.
It would be Claire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Claire's like the least precious person I've ever met. Pod favorite. My wife, Claire Newman, obviously.
She is a pod favorite. Like legit, a pod favorite.
I think she's your pod favorite.
She's, again, like we were saying earlier, a delight.
We were talking about sneakers a little bit ago, and I want everyone to know who listens to this. You know, sometimes when you listen to a podcast, you think, I'm a friend of the pod. These guys are in my heart and mind because I've been listening to them for so many years. I think there's got to be at least like 10 people out there for whom that is their main draw experience.
Sure.
You know, Cody, I see you, Cody. Shout out to you. And, you know, I think it's really telling the kind of Adidas that you prefer. I think it says so much about you.
Yeah. Yes. I have been wearing Rod Laver's. Although I have the Nike Kill Shots, which I don't even know are legit, have ever been legit tennis shoes, but I was very excited to get them. Since they're only sold through J. Crew, which is horrifying, but they're great sneakers.
We're grown ups now.
We are grown ups.
We buy JQ Crew collabs.
Yep.
Shoes.
I've always been a Rod Laverman, not a Stan Smith man. I appreciate Stan Smith's for sure, but I like that the Lavers are roughly twice as substantial.
They are. It's got a thick sole. They kind of remind me of a Pog. Weird reference that I'm going to make, but they kind of remind me of a Pog Slammer.
Yep.
With that very, very thick rubber.
They're heavy.
And they're a much more substantial shoe, and you look great in them. And you wear, typically, in my mind anyway, you always wear Navy.
I've had green, sure, but navy. In fact, a little while ago, a friend of mine was getting nostalgic about college, which for me now is over 15 years ago. And there was a picture of me in college wearing Rod Laver's.
Did it hold up? Yeah, that's me.
Yes,
I haven't changed.
Yes, I had that, and then I ordered the Pete Sampras the Ocelots or whatever.
Oh yes, those were cool shoes. The kind of like low ones that had like kind of a crocodile look,
like
to
a
them.
Zoom, and they had like a blue royal blue like toe cap to them.
That was a cool shoe.
But they sent me Hollibird, I think Sports sent me ones that were chrome silver.
Oh no!
I've looked for them online, but I went to college in Iowa, so it isn't like I like run to like a cool sneaker place, and so I just wore them. They're like easily the most audacious item of clothing I've ever, but you just got to wear it like a badge at that point because I needed sneakers.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that time then, and maybe we're returning to it now when you can wear tennis shoes off the court, because tennis shoes have been clunky, monstrous dork fests for a long time. Right. I don't know who ruined it. Maybe Jerry Seinfeld, but like. You really haven't been able to wear a lot of tennis shoes off the court, at least in my view.
Right.
Since like Agassi and Court Challenge, maybe before with those Nikes that John McEnroe used to wear with the Velcro across top. I forget what they're called, but those were a good looking shoe as well.
Yeah. I mean, there haven't been a lot of jean compatible tennis shoes.
Yes. Jean compatible. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. I think we're like coming back around again, and it's just, but there's a whole class of like the like Babolat ones and the Lotto ones that are just like, they look like they're made of like recently declassified material kind of that totally. You like can't wear in the real world.
Yeah. Like NASA government issued them to like space explorers.
Right.
Maybe Novak Djokovic could wear them when he gets launched into space to explore the galaxies on behalf of humanity.
Totally. I feel like the barricades are not far off. They're not quite there, but they're the closest of like big tennis shoes that you'd want to wear in the real world.
They're not terrible, but they're not gene compatible, to your point.
Nope.
And a lot of them just look so clunky, and it's a real tough mix between like reinforcement so you don't go through them.
Right.
Because I actually played, I don't really like Stan Smith's, but I went to the Stan Smith book party because he just launched this huge book with Rizzoli, this giant, you know, coffee table book.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sent, which was kind of cool, a special issue edition of the Stan Smiths.
Wow.
And they have like, you know how sometimes when there's a special edition of the Stan Smiths, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. There's a specific place where they do the like customization, and it's like kind of a gold foil stamp. So they look kind of cool, and it's a forest green, not a bright green.
Okay.
There's like a subtle difference. So I wear them sometimes, and I found myself at Westside Tennis Club playing on grass, and my white Nike Vapors that I had been wearing got a hole in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore them, and I have to tell you, they looked cool. I look cool as heck.
Yeah.
Which is not insignificant for me on the court to feel like I look cool, but. Yeah. I thought I was going to come flying out of these guys a couple of times. They were just like, nope. You know what I mean?
Right. These are not glove-like.
No, not glove-like. They are thin. I mean, it felt like I had pieces of paper on my feet. Like I had gone to get a pedicure and like the paper,
right.
You know, footies that they give you to just shuffle to the dryer. Right. That's what I felt like I was wearing.
It's like the wood racket of shoes, basically.
Yeah. And I think if we were to make Novak Djokovic or others with extreme athleticism try to play with those, it wouldn't go over well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would like curtail how they could play so much. Like we wouldn't, there'd be no sliding on concrete or no healthy sliding on concrete. Maybe
no, I think you could literally only run it. Maybe that's why everyone served and volleyed, because you couldn't run laterally.
That probably is like an underrated, because usually you just think of the rackets, but I bet shoe technology is a part of that too. This has been more chew talk than I thought, but I'm happy for it.
I'm happy for it too. I'm happy to hear your voice. Shall we make a plan to check in at some point during the maybe Sunshine Double, the upcoming Indian Wells / Miami?
Smart.
Duo?
Yes. That is also a time of year that I enjoy a lot.
Same here.
Tennis.
It's in our time zone, and it's sunny outside. All right, my friend.
All right.
As always, it's a pleasure.
Yep.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Caitlin.